This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage, home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Antonio Brown has pushed a lot of people's buttons. You know, it's funny. He gets cut by the Patriots. It almost feels like the Patriots don't care what you do as long as they don't have to answer questions about it. And Bill Belichick got too many questions about Antonio Brown yesterday. Not to mention the fact that the latest transgressions happened while he was a member of the New England Patriots. Those being the text messages, intimidating, I guess, text messages he sent to a woman who is not suing him or pressing charges against him, but simply told a media outlet that he did something. And, you know, he's saying that people need to look into her background and she's broke and attaching pictures of her children and looping his lawyer into the conversation. Just wild stuff, especially while you're under investigation, but just in any situation to be wild, but especially while you're under investigation. And it fits the pattern of behavior from Antonio Brown, a disturbing pattern that has me saying the man doesn't need another football team, but needs help. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Probably going to move past this topic in the next few minutes, so now's your chance to get in if you got something to say. Adam in the truck. Adam, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, man? Listen, I'm an old veteran, right? Excuse me. The reason I say that is because I had some problems when I first came out of the military, and I didn't realize it at first. I had an anger issue. Mm-hmm. And I found myself quitting great jobs, getting angry over nothing. Like if my truck wasn't parked where I left it after the mechanics worked on it, I got angry and quit a job that was paying me over $70,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what you're saying, irrational behavior, basically, right?
Yeah. And someone brought that to my attention. And at first, I denied it. And I caught myself right after that. And I went back to the VA and I got help. And part of my point is, he may have a problem and don't realize it yet. And part of that problem is it will keep you in denial. You think you're rational. You think you're doing everything right when you're doing everything wrong. And sometimes people lose too much before they even realize it, or they're forced to get help. And I've heard some media people say, well, this guy's nuts. He's an idiot. Nobody wants to have a mental issue if this is his problem. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just going from my own experiences and friends I know that went through these type of issues.
You know what, Adam, I'm glad to hear that you're doing better, my man. And yeah, your point is well taken. There's a line on the last Jay-Z album, the first track, Kill Jay-Z, says, when everybody's crazy, you're the one who's insane. And I'm pretty sure he was talking about Kanye West in that line. But the general theme is there. With Antonio Brown, everybody else is crazy but him, right? That seems to be his mode of thinking. Everybody's crazy but him. And even despite, I keep going back to this point, but I think it really illustrates it. The Steelers, it was their fault. The Raiders, it was their fault. Patriots didn't work out. These women, they're making it up. Everybody, you know, and again, I'm not saying the most serious charge here is the civil rape allegation. That's a very serious charge. I'm not saying that he is guilty of that. I do not know. That's not the point. The point is not whether he's guilty of that one thing. This is not about that one thing. It's about the pattern of behavior with Brown and the fact that despite this pattern of behavior, he still is looking at it as a, you know, the world is out to get me mentality. That is not someone who's seeing things clearly. How about Sharky in Northern California? You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Yes, good morning. I think there's a big white elephant in the room. I think perhaps Antonio Brown needs to be watched for suicide watch. I mean, because, you know, he ended up at the team he wanted to be at, the Patriots, and now they cut him. You know, where else is he going to go? His trainer, who was his friend, I guess she's pressing charges against him. I mean, personally, I think the guy needs to be, you know, watched. He might, you know, do something that really will shock everybody, especially if he has all this PTI stuff people say he has, or maybe I didn't say that correctly.
I think you wanted to go with CTE. Look, I don't know. I said at the beginning that if it's not addressed, I could see this story ending tragically. I'm not going to speculate on what's going on with Antonio Brown or what he might do or whatnot. That's not responsible. The only thing I know is that he needs help. I'm comfortable saying that because no one acts like he's acting and isn't in need of some form of help. Whether that means he has a mental disorder or not, I don't know. Whether that means he has CTE or not, I don't know. Whatever it is, he needs help with it. He's destroying his life and hurting other people in the process. Lloyd in Birmingham. Lloyd, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, Robin?
What's going on, Lloyd?
That was a great segue. He's destroying other people. You know, if you think about that, this guy runs through the people in his life like they're his pawns, and that's one of the main parts of, you know, a narcissist and having narcissistic personality disorder. Look, you know, Gruden could have put his foot in his mouth and ruined his own career, and Brown wouldn't have cared. And then these texts, forgive me, I haven't read them, but I'll bet, you know, I'll bet they say something that, you know, again, he doesn't care about this person that he's texting in any kind of way.
Well, they're both harsh in the language he's using and the like, but it's also I'm trying to figure out the best way to articulate this. It's the method of delivery, the way the words are delivered is another right thing that's concerning to me. Just like, because I don't think healthy people communicate that way. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You might have somebody call you a name. Your spouse might call you a name, right? Like in an argument.
Right.
But
right,
they don't deliver it in the way he's delivering it. And that's what concerns me. The almost like rushed pattern of the communication. The almost, you know, kind of manic. It's disturbing. And not only, you know, some of the words are disturbing, and you just shouldn't talk to people like that. But it's also it's the way he's talking, and then the why he's talking. Like, who in their right mind, while under investigation, would send text messages like who in their right mind would ever send text messages like that in the first place? But then who, doubly in their right mind, would send text messages like that when they're under investigation?
Like, I know.
And loop in their lawyer. There's lawyers on the text.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not sane. That's not sane. Steve in Oklahoma. Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. Steve, you there?
Yes, sir.
What's up, Steve?
Yes. Just a couple of quick comments, if I could.
Go ahead.
Okay, yes. Who you are as a person, procedure, your character, and whatever you do epitomizes you, who you are as a person and what you've done in your life. So, Antonio has to realize that there's a lot of things that get involved in this. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you, man.
Oh, okay, sir. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
That 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 involves your character and who you are as a person and how you perceive yourself and what you do. Because I got that from my dad. I've been a sports fan since 1952. I was my first time I put on a uniform. So I know what it means to be through church and school and just being an athlete and what it takes to build a character through the years. And I don't think he really quite understands the point that it precedes you, who you are as a person through your life.
Well, Steve, I don't think he's seeing any of this stuff clearly. Like, you know, if his thought process is that he's the one being wronged and everybody else is looking at him the wrong way, he's clearly not digesting things the right way. You know, and his character may have always been questionable. I don't know. I just know we didn't hear about it to the level of this until the last year or so, 2 years. And there's just no way that what's going on now was buried for 8 years. There's no way. You know, and, you know, I don't know what else to say. The only thing I can say, I sum it up in one sentence. Antonio Brown doesn't need a new team. He needs help. All right, let's move on. Talk about some other stuff going on in the NFL. There's one positive NFL. Mahomes plays Jackson tomorrow. That's exciting. But unfortunately for the NFL, their biggest star, Patrick Mahomes, is probably second at this point and climbing. I think he's the best thing about the NFL. But Tom Brady remains the NFL's face. And he had something to say about the product the other night. Get into that coming up next. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
You know, I don't think I've ever been fooled by one of those parody accounts online. I mean, I've been fooled like in the moment myself, but not like publicly fooled, right? Where I like retweet it or go like, oh my God, guys, can you believe this? And then it's like some guy called Barry or something instead of Adam Schefter. You know, it's not, I've only learned my lesson because I've seen it happen to other people, right? So therefore, if I see something that's like, is this real? I double check it. I go and I'm like, wait, there's that the blue check next to this person's name. It's that's actually from them, right? Because you have the like the ones that are hard to believe. Like when Andrew Luck retired at first, like my takeaway from Andrew Luck was that it was surprising but made sense, right? It was surprising but sensible. But still, in the moment when you first see it, you're like, wait, is that really Adam Schefter? I got to check that. Or is it a darn Schefter or something like that? And same thing happened to me the other night. Thursday night, I got to be honest with you, I was not watching the Tennessee-Jacksonville game at the moment. I was watching someone else make a complete fool of themselves on national television. But I did see Tom Brady's tweet, and I was flipping between. I had gone to the game a few times, and I saw his tweet about the penalties. And it said, I'm turning off this game. I can't watch these ridiculous penalties anymore. Hashtag Tennessee versus Jacksonville. And I just wanted to make sure that that was Tom Brady. So I clicked on the account a couple times like, yeah, that's definitely from Tom Brady. And not that it was like something controversial or wild he said, but I just don't recall Brady ever publicly criticizing the league like that. And that's not a small critique. He is actively telling people he is turning off the product for which he is the face of. Tom Brady's still the face of the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, I think, is the best thing about the NFL. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. But Tom Brady is the face of the NFL. He's the most famous NFL player. And, you know, the greatest probably of all time. So for him to say that, it's like, Whoa. Now, you know, I heard Troy Aikman on the broadcast say that, you know, Tom Brady is the least controversial guy in the league. I don't know if that's exactly true. I mean, he's not the most controversial guy, but it's not like Tom Brady's career has been squeaky clean either. But he's certainly not someone who's known for this, for saying things. That's not what he's known for. And because he said it, because of the gravitas attached to his name, they started talking about it on the broadcast. So at that point, it's NFL Network broadcasting an NFL game, talking about the most famous NFL player saying he can't watch said NFL game anymore. He has to turn it off on the broadcast that you're watching. That's not a good look. You know, I joked earlier, I'm not sure anything is a genuine crisis for the NFL. If they can withstand Antonio Brown and they can withstand head trauma and they can withstand, you know, Kaepernick not having a job and so on and so forth. But the penalty thing is a real issue. And I think it stands out more in the primetime isolated games, right? Because it's different when tomorrow you're watching NFL Red Zone and you turn on NFL Red Zone and 100 games are going on at the same time. So you switch from one to the next to the next to the next. It doesn't stick out like that. But when you're focused on one and the rhythm keeps getting broken up by flags, it's frustrating. It's not an enjoyable product to watch. Now, when Brady's the source of the complaint, of course you're going to get people that fire back and say, come on, dude, you benefit more than anybody else. And that's, you know, more on roughing the passer. You know, there's I forget who said that one of the refs told him, don't touch Tom the other day. But that's not the point. The point is, I think, about the number of flags being thrown. And the fact that holding has been an emphasis. Who the hell told them to emphasize holding? That makes no sense to me. Of all the things that should be de-emphasized, it's holding. We don't need more holding calls. Holding is like obscenity. The Supreme Court, one of the judges once said, like, obscenity is, you know it when you see it. You know it when you see it. I think with holding, you know it when you see it. If a running back's breaking outside and one of the linemen grabs a defender and throws them to the ground, grabs them from behind, holds them from behind, throws them to the ground, that's holding, right? But there is holding that can be called on every single play. And it sure feels like they're trying to do it. You know, and part of it's also a combination of that emphasis placed on the call and the lack of practice time for teams. You know, teams are practicing less. They're putting less emphasis on the preseason, understandably so. Guys can get hurt. I think I saw both. It was the Eagles and one other team this week. I forget who it was, but two teams at least this week didn't hold a Wednesday practice because they felt they were too banged up and they knew they had a Thursday game the following week. So they just needed to conserve guys. So you're seeing more of that. So teams are not in their rhythm yet. But you don't want the rhythm of the game to be broken up. And I think it's significant when you see Tom Brady say it, because Tom Brady saying it sort of breaks the dam again and then has the broadcasters on the actual event saying it, an event broadcast on NFL Network. Has that affected your viewing experience? You know, the number of flags? Is there an officiating crisis in the NFL? Because it's not just Brady. Troy Aikman called it nauseating. That's the word he used, nauseating. And I do think it really stands out on those individually nationally televised primetime games. Because when you got a bunch going on at the same time, you're not noticing it as much. But when it's bouncing around, boom, 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 that's fine. But when it's just the one game you're watching and you're trying to focus on it and your eyes start getting trained to the bottom corner of the screen just looking for the flag. Then it stopped play, and there's just no flow. I was surprised to see Brady say it. Again, I had to double take to make sure that it was actually his account and not some other parody account. But it's been one of the... It's probably been, outside of some of the quarterback play from Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, the most talked about on-field thing regarding the NFL at the moment. Have the flags taken away from your enjoyment of the game? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. RobinLundberg. What do you think? Is there a problem? Again, I hesitate to use a crisis with the NFL because it seems like it can withstand every single possible kind of crisis and still be the most viewed thing in the world. It's crazy, right? I mean, I've just listed them all. You got Antonio Brown going on. You've got the problems with head trauma in the sport, Kaepernick controversy, now officiating, and it's still the most viewed thing in the country. So there's no crisis when it comes to the NFL, but there's certainly, let's say, an issue, an officiating issue.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
You know what the NFL's like, if you're talking pop culture, it's like, you know, like, remember when CDs used to skip? You know, scratch. That's the NFL with penalty flags now. Game keeps skipping. We're going to have to wait a second before we can keep this going. The rhythm is all broken up. Or, you know what messes up on me? My Bluetooth. Sometimes it gets scratchy, and I have real nice headphones, and then, like, it's really aggravating when it's, like, scratchy. Getting broken up. That's what's happening with NFL games. The product, because of the flags. David Penn tweets in, as a Saints fan, yes, flags take away from my enjoyment of the game. I wonder how much of, you know, stuff is in reaction to that. That's just the worst missed call in history. I do feel for Saints fans in that regard, just because it was so egregious and bad. I tend not to try to blame the officials too much, but if they're emphasizing holding, I'm not sure why. Daniel Blake Hill tweets, and I think the opposite. The rules have been heavily bent in favor of the offense. You can't touch the QB, and now the O-line can basically maul defensive players to keep them from the quarterback. Why not just turn the NFL into 7-on-7 score league like they must want? Look, I mean, the roughing the passer stuff, I understand the frustration from defensive players. Jamal Adams, notably, this week. I understand that because that's a split-second decision in a lot of those cases, and he shouldn't have been fined for that. Maybe a penalty, but he shouldn't have been fined. And it's asking a lot for guys to do that calculus in their head in the moment of, hey, I'm running full speed to try and make this play, and the guy lets go of the ball, and then in that, like, second, I'm supposed to just change everything? That's tough. I also understand why the NFL is enforcing that, because the quarterbacks make the money. I mean, the quarterbacks... Look, I'm just gonna be totally transparent. If it was a slow news day and we were trying to create a topic, what would we wind up talking about? Quarterbacks, right? We figure out a way to talk. You know, Mahomes or Jackson, who's going to be the MVP? Whatever it may be. That's where you go. You go to the quarterbacks. That's what people care about. That's what people talk about. If you name the most famous players in the NFL, the vast majority of them are quarterbacks, and the other one is Antonio Brown right now. You know, that's the money. So the NFL is protecting the quarterbacks. I wish they would do a better job protecting the mobile quarterbacks, because it feels like those guys get blasted. My problem isn't so much with those calls, because I at least understand those calls, even if I sympathize with the defensive players. My problem is with the number, the volume of the calls, and the fact that it is jarring. It's like, herky-jerky. Like somebody riding the brake on a car. You keep breaking up the flow. And that's what Tom Brady was talking about. It's what Troy Aikman is talking about. And I wonder if it's affected people's enjoyment of the product. 855-212-4227. Again, I think it stands out more in the individual primetime games than on an NFL Sunday when you're digesting a lot at the same time. But when it's just the one game, especially if it's the Jaguars and the Titans, it could hit you harder. Paul in Maine. Paul, You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Paul?
Yeah, good morning.
What's up?
I'm calling up on, I'm kind of slighted a bit, I guess, because I'm an umpire.
Okay.
And my problem with your scenario is that are the flags...
Oh, I was actually interested in hearing what he had to say. and then he's gone. He's still there, Paul? You gone? Look, a flag got thrown down. The rhythm of the show got broken up because his signal was bad there. Maybe he'll call back. Here's another Paul. Paul in Chicago. Paul, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, Paul?
I just wanted to call and say I was watching Thursday Night Football, and these holding calls are absolutely atrocious, but it's not just the amount of holding calls, and it's not just the holding calls. A lot of these roughing the passer calls, even over the past two seasons with the roughing the passer, are absolutely ridiculous. I'm from Chicago, and at the end of the Broncos-Bears game this week, there was a roughing the passer call that helped the Bears stay on the field at the end of the game and eventually lead to the game-winning field goal. As happy as I was that the Bears won, you can't end a game on a ridiculous roughing the passer call like that was called on the Broncos. And even last season, I can't remember the player's name, but a player on the Miami Dolphins tore his ACL trying not to land on the quarterback on a sack. Nobody's really talking about that even during last season. So they need to be able to tackle the quarterback. It's called it's called football.
I understand the why people are upset. I don't think games should be changed, of course, on a ticky-tack call. Was it the Chiefs game against the Patriots last year in the playoffs where somebody like touched Brady on the shoulder and it was a roughing the passer call or unnecessary roughness call? I'm not advocating for that. I understand why they're trying to protect the quarterbacks, though. So the Jamal Adams hit's a better example where I think that was maybe worth a flag but not worth a fine. I understand why they're trying to protect the quarterbacks because the quarterbacks are the stars. The quarterbacks are what people are most interested in. There needs to be a line there somewhere. You know, yes, you're right. You shouldn't be turning the outcome of a game on a ticky-tack call. But I honestly don't think that's as big a problem as the rhythm of the game being broken up completely by the plethora of flags that are thrown down. Paul in Maine, I think this is Paul from before, he's back. What's going on, Paul?
Yeah, sorry for the breakup.
Sure.
Well, I'm an umpire, and I have a problem with calls that aren't made, actually. If you have the rules, the officials are geared towards calling and looking for those specific rules and those calls. So if you've got a problem with too many flags being thrown, again, if they're valid penalties, then I think it's incumbent upon the players, and by that, the coaches, to teach the players the correct way to do things and not get a call. Because I'm saying if your team, if something happens and you say, well, maybe I'm not going to call that one, and then you call it a little bit later, now you're being inconsistent and the players don't know which way to go. I think you just get it's a problem with too many rules.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the case. I'm not necessarily blaming the officials, Paul. Like I said, there apparently was an emphasis put on holding. But I've heard my entire life, essentially, that you could call holding on every play, right, if you wanted to, because there probably is. So that's where there's a gray area here. It's not as simple as a infraction occurred. Do you call it or not? It's when does it rise to the level of being worthy of being called? And that is a judgment call, no?
Well, it is, but how can you determine? How many games have you seen that have the momentum has turned in the third quarter or the second quarter even, when a team, you know, you've got them maybe a second and 20, and then a penalty is not called, and they make a 25-yard gain, they score the first touchdown, you know, they go down and score a touchdown, and the game shifts.
I guess it would depend on what the penalty, you know, like a missed call like in the NFC Championship game is obviously horrific. But there are holding calls that I don't think are egregious. It's like if it was a basketball game, you know, technically, like you can't like touch the guy, right? But there's contact that happens all the time. If they were blowing a whistle every time there was any sort of contact, it would be unwatchable, even if technically it was a foul.
Right. I appreciate your opinion. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Out of 100 calls, how many, when you see the replays, how many do you believe are actually good calls out of 100? You know, I know it's just a random.
Yeah, sure. But, good calls, I would say, like, maybe half of them I think are good calls, and maybe 20 to 30% I think are up in the air, and then maybe 20% I think are bad calls.
Okay, well, and then if I had your perspective on those numbers, I would totally agree with your assessment.
You know,
I don't tend to agree with those numbers, but I see where you're coming from.
Got it. Appreciate the call, Paul. How about Steve in Lexington, Kentucky? Steve's up next, 855-212-4227, talking about the number of penalties thrown in the NFL. What's going on, Steve? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on this morning.
Sure.
It's been a good morning listening to the radio.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, I'm a Cowboys fan. Also, I've been watching football since the 70s. And these quarterbacks are getting protected now. I still don't think they've got it right. They're more a reactionary league than a proactionary league, if I could use the term.
More reactive than proactive, yep.
Exactly. And it physics dictates that you cannot slow up in a matter of a split second what you're doing when you're in motion. It's physically impossible for a lineman who's coming full speed, okay, at a quarterback who has just tried to dodge another lineman, okay, and then penalize that lineman for hitting him high or whatever. Saw a really bad call in the Kentucky game against Florida, to that matter. These calls need to be better looked at before they go enforced. Now, as far as the holding penalties are concerned, Stephen Jones is on the rules committee, and from what I understand, last year at some point late in the season, the Cowboys' opponents were flagged the fewest number of times in the NFL for holding. And I guess that was a really big point of contention on the rules committee during the offseason. And I think this is what you're saying is a result of that. I'm not saying the Cowboys are the only reason that why this is happening, but it would not surprise me one bit that Stephen Jones got into the rules committee and said, hey, guys, we got to do something about this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not blaming the officials because apparently it was a point of emphasis. I just don't understand why it was a point of emphasis. And bottom line is, all right, you made your point then. And some of it's on the players. Look, some infractions are being committed, of course. Like I said, there's less practice time. The preseason has been devalued, so teams are not operating at their best at the moment. Yet at the same time, you got to think about the viewer. You have to think about the product. And when Tom Brady is saying it publicly, you know it's gotten to an issue. You know, because one, I'm not saying that Tom Brady's squeaky clean, but he doesn't generally speak out, and you know he's known for not speaking out. Even the messages that he's communicated that have been the most controversial have been done tacitly. You know, something appearing in his locker or, you know, what he's been fighting for himself, you know, in court or whatnot, you know, Deflategate and the like. It's never been the stuff he's saying in press conferences or the stuff he's saying on social media. That's generally not, you know, his MO. His MO is the opposite. It's to say, I'm just focused on the game. And for him to say that he had to turn off a game was pretty shocking, honestly, because I always think about him as like trying to put off at least the impression that he's above the fray. And in this instance, that's the face of the league, and they started bringing it up on the league's own broadcast. And you know, you've reached problematic territory when that's happening. Mike in Chicago. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, well, a couple of things. First of all, one question is, why the heck is Tom Brady watching a garbage game between the Jaguars and the Titans on a Thursday night? But I think the bigger point is, at any one time on the field, you've got three teams, not just two. You've got the defense and the offense, but you also have the officials. And the officials have a job to do, which is enforce the rules. So, yes, there were some kind of lousy calls like a roughing the passer call that wasn't roughing, but a lot of times holding, interference, and so forth. This is the players not following the rules. Football is a game of rules. Everybody's got their job to do. If you don't want to get called for holding when you're clearly holding somebody and freeing up the running back to, you know, make a big run, then don't hold.
If it were just that easy, I would agree, but I don't think it's that cut and dry. I think there's a lot of gray area, especially in holding calls. There's a lot of gray area, right? Like, again, the I think it might have been Bill Part. Maybe I'm giving Bill Parcells credit for something he didn't say, but you could call holding on every play. I mean, that's what, and that's going back to the probably the 80s when I first heard that. So, yes, there are instances of holding where it's definitely the correct call. And there are instances of holding that are being called where you could say, okay, you know, I see it. But there's always that subjectiveness that comes into any call. And that's where I think, you know, the point of emphasis problem comes into play, because you're then having them on the lookout for something that, you know, a lot of times is a gray area, a lot of times is subjective. And bottom line is, you know, whether it's the player's fault or the ref's fault or the league's fault, the product is suffering as a result. And it's particularly noticeable in the primetime games where you're just watching one game and you don't have the option of seeing a bunch of games at the same time. And, you know, that's an issue. That's an issue. Maybe it gets cleaned up after this week. But when, you know, Tom Brady's saying it, and Troy Aikman, who's a part of your number one broadcast team, calls it nauseating. That's the word he used, nauseating. Then it's not exactly just something you can ignore or should continue. And this has been it's not just like the last couple of weeks. I think this has been a growing problem for the NFL. And, you know, it's a correctable one. It is a correctable one that they don't have to necessarily react to. We do know that they like to react, as was referenced by another caller, but they can be proactive when it comes to this. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Coming up, I'll make my NFL picks. Wish me luck, because I've been terrible so far this year. Just awful. I need your luck. Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.